Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
The reason Belichick is the greatest football coach who ever lived by far is because he takes no one for granted. He doesn't take the Bengals for granted. It's a first-year head coach.
Okay.
So you're looking for information, and then he'll find the signal from the noise later. But first, he wants the information.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
So Belichick takes no one or nothing for granted, which is why they're great. Now, that said, we need to spy on the Bengals to beat them? No, they don't need to, but they do. That's why they beat everyone so often.
Look, God, the reason we're here is we wanted to tell you to stop messing with the Patriots. Please, God, we're begging you, leave football alone. It's all we got.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
I would like to say it would be nice if, you know, every so often one of these wide receivers could get open from the huddle. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where they don't have to have some unbelievable read and be on the exact same page as Tom Brady at the line of scrimmage during a check.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Mix it up a little bit. Doing it on the first drive isn't really establishing it in the game. You have to do it on the first couple of drives and really start to establish it and change the way the defense is approaching you. That's what you have to do.
You didn't!
I did.
What you say?
I did this.
What does this mean, man? Speak English to me.
That means I go this way and you go this way.
I go that way, you go this way.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
All right, welcome into the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Mark Dondero, Ben Kitchen here in Providence. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, my friend.
A lot to get to today. A lot of Patriots talk. We may get off of the Patriots at some point, but I have too many things to say regarding the Patriots, football, and the NFL. I have an opening take. I want to start with whatever you want to call it, Deflategate 2.0. Do you have an opening take you want to get to, or can I go? What do you want to do?
No, let's just skip mine. We'll get to it later in the show.
So let's just touch on this, because I'm just going to say I am delighted. I'm happy. I didn't know where it was going to go when it emerged, but it appears that this Deflategate 2.0 thing is much to do about nothing. Mm-hmm. It really hasn't blown up. It really hasn't become this big controversy that I have to spend a million hours a night looking, reading about. I'm glad it hasn't gone into that area that some of the other ones of the past have, Deflategate and Spygate. Now, do I think Bill Belichick has a right to be pissed? If he's pissed, and there's a report out there that he might have been pissed, Bill Belichick has a right to be pissed.
Yeah.
Because this is the Kraft Sports production people that are filming the scout for the documentary. Okay. I know that football people, Belichick, McDaniels, Ernie, I know they don't have anything to do with this, but I'm sorry, you can't go anywhere near, if you're the Patriots, you can't go anywhere near that kind of mistake, the mistake that they made. Now, thankfully, like I said, this hasn't turned into something big, and I'm glad about that, because I didn't want to deal with that. I didn't want to listen to that. There's enough issues circulating around this team right now,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want to deal with some kind of controversy. Just didn't want to do it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But you can't have that kind of mistake if you're the production crew. Ultimately, Belichick, I fully believe him. He spoke at the podium with conviction. He said it on the conference call the whole time. It looked like he almost welcomed questions, not welcomed questions, but had no issue explaining his stance. Yep. We had nothing to do with it. I don't care what you say. We had nothing to do with it. And I totally believe him. He had nothing to do with it. I don't know why there's another, you know, sub-narrative out there where, well, they had nothing to do with the filming, but would Ernie want to look at some of this, or would he look at that? I don't understand why that's a big deal. They had nothing to do with it. It was a documentary. I don't know. I could tell you from being a videographer at one point.
Yep.
No, they're not worried about the NFL rules. They're worried about the video that they have to take, and they're thinking of the story. Nobody's worried about the football rules.
Well, that's the mistake they made, and they should be worried about it. When if there was never an original Spygate situation, if there was never a Deflategate situation, then yeah, that's fine. But when you have that in your past and not too distant past, you got to pay attention to it. You got to know what's going on. You got to know what you can and can't do when you're filming in a situation like that. I don't absolve them because stupidity is a bad excuse. And that's what this was. It was an instance of stupidity. And it's a bad excuse from Kraft Sports Productions.
Kraft Sports Productions should never have been filming anything in an opposing team stadium.
No.
If you want to film something, a documentary, you film that down in the bowels of Gillette Stadium in the back room. You can talk about what the scouts do or use some other kind of footage. You do not film in another team stadium. That's what I'm saying. You shouldn't have been near that type of mistake. Now, again, I don't think it had anything to do with Belichick football cheating. People are going to believe what they want to believe. People are going to believe the Patriots are going to believe that they're cheating. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter.
Well, people still believe Tomasi's original report in the Herald.
Which was when was that redacted? A long time ago, right? Right after it happened.
Shortly after.
Yeah. So it didn't matter. Once it hit the papers, that was that.
Yeah, well, that's the irresponsibility of it, is you put out bad information. And I like John Tomasi. He's a really good guy. He got burned
hard. Been on this show.
He got burned hard on that one. And I feel kind of bad for him because his name's forever attached to it. But he got excited and thought he had a good scoop and went with it. But the problem is when you put out misinformation like that, and he didn't intentionally do it, but when you do, no one cares about the apology after the fact. No one cares about the redaction in the paper a couple of days later. They gloss over it. They don't even look at it, never pay attention. That's why people still will cite Tomasi's original report as proof of, you know, Patriots cheating within Spygate. But when you have a history of two incidences where there was bending the rules, which there absolutely was, don't get it twisted, Deflategate was insane, but it was still bending the rules, and then you have a third thing pop up, I think it's fair for other people to look at you critically, even though we know and have looked through this, said, you know, there's really not a whole lot here, supposedly. Once we see the tape, that might be a different situation, but you have a pattern here.
It is totally fair.
You have to be smarter, especially when you have an incident that is almost directly related to this incident.
If I'm Bill Belichick, I am absolutely pissed that film crew associated with Kraft Sports Productions doing something that has no effect on the football operation, doesn't help me at all, did something, made a mistake that is now once again essentially bringing my legacy back into question.
Yep.
Absolutely pissed if I'm Bill Belichick, and I totally understand that it's a mistake that cannot be made. Filming in an opposing team's stadium was just stupid. Just stupid. And I know that Spygate was a long time ago, but you just can't go near that type of mistake. With that being said, I think that the reaction to this has been appropriate. Like I said, people, they're going to feel the way they want to feel. And it hasn't blown up into this big national thing for the most part, because I think most people have accepted the Patriots' explanation. And I think the fact that they sort of admitted to it, which was different than the past, they admitted something went that they broke a rule. I think that played into it as well.
Sure. But I think there's plenty of people out there that are still saying, yep, see, Patriots cheating again. And I can't really fault them for their opinion, even if this incident looks like a little bit of much ado about nothing. Because you have two in the past that people can point to and go, hey, there was some smoke here with Spygate. There was some smoke here with Deflategate. I think Deflategate was completely blown out of proportion. It was absolutely tied into Spygate. But the reality is you did circumvent the rules. The footballs weren't at the level they were supposed to be. Now, do a lot of teams do it? Yes. But that's not an excuse for you. Okay. You still broke the rules. So if you have these two incidents in the past, the not too distant past, it's fair.
Okay.
It's fair for people around the league to be like, look, Patriots are cheating again. Because they could look at it and go like, okay, here's your explanation. It seems relatively reasonable, but You're still filming in a situation you shouldn't be. And now you can say it's for this documentary, but how do I know it's not going to end up in Ernie Adams' hands and say, hey, what can I take out of this? Maybe there's a little nugget here I can take out and utilize moving forward. Or Bill, same situation. So it's fair for other people to look at the Patriots and be like, look, they're cheating again.
It totally is fair. I feel like it was a stupid mistake that you shouldn't have gone near that type of mistake. I feel like Bill Belichick should be pissed. And I feel like ultimately it was a mistake of the film crew, the production crew, and it doesn't involve the football operations. That's what I think. So I agree with the reaction that this controversy, air quotes, has garnered.
Listen,
what do you feel? How do you feel about this?
I believe Bill 90%, but there's still a 10% in me that goes, what if this is all a smoke screen because you were trying to get footage of something?
Okay, well then.
Because you know what? There's that 10% of me that's like, well, he wants that competitive edge no matter what.
Yeah, okay.
There's a 10%. But 90%, I believe Bill, yeah. I believe the situation unfolded the way they're describing it having unfolded, but I'm allowed to have a little bit of doubt.
Sure.
Simply because there's a small pattern.
I would respond to that by saying, have there been any other instances where the Patriots brought a film crew to another stadium to film a scout?
I have no idea.
That'd be easy to find out. Have they tried to get credentials anywhere else from any other teams?
I don't know.
NFL could find that out because they were credentialed. They were credentialed media members filming for this documentary. Has it happened at any other stadiums? Because I doubt it was just a one-off to get intel on the Bengals. Yep. That's what I doubt. If you told me that they've been doing this all year, filming scouts at every stadium they've gone to, and getting whatever other footage was out there, well then, okay, now I'm a little bit more suspicious. But if it was just this one time in Cincinnati filming this scout, just a one-off in Cincinnati to get intel on the Bengals, that doesn't make any sense to me. I believe Bill Belichick. I think it was a stupid mistake by the production crew. And I understand as a videographer, you're probably not thinking about the NFL rules. You're thinking about what will make my story. You know, if I was thinking like a videographer in that instance, I would say, all right, I have to film the sideline because that's one of the areas this scout is looking for. So I'm going to keep it on there to see anything that he might say or that he might be looking for to see if I can catch it. And then I can use the video to illustrate what he might be looking for. Now, that's really not knowing the rules, but that's a way that the videographer could be thinking.
Yeah.
Not worried about football or the NFL.
Ignorance of the situation is a bad excuse.
It's a bad excuse.
It's a bad excuse.
But I still believe, Bill, I don't think it was a football thing. I don't think it was cheating. I just think it was an idiot move.
I agree.
And they can't make that kind of mistake or go near it.
I absolutely agree. But again, you've got a pattern. You have a history.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and just blindly defend the Patriots say everyone outside who's looking at it and saying, hey, they're cheating again. I'm going to say, you know what? They've got a little bit of a gripe here. They do. It's not as big as Deflategate was insane what people were thinking. But it was still bending the rules.
That's why I couldn't believe when the statement came out from the Patriots and they admitted to breaking the rules. I mean, I give them credit for owning it, but you can't go near that type of mistake. You can't.
Well,
you can't break those rules, especially with a video camera. You can't do it.
Yeah.
Not with Spygate and everything else that you dealt with in the past. You want to break another rule? I mean, break some other rule. You cannot break a rule with a video camera that puts the head coach and the entire organization's legacy back into question. You can't go near that. Okay, let's get away from this because I think this is done. I don't think after this week we talk about this. Here's what I want to talk about. I've been thinking about this, and I have, a confession. Every time, and this is a developing opinion, but every time I've thought about the Patriots and Tom Brady and Tom Brady's future, I've thought about it in the way of, would Brady just leave? Would he want to go play somewhere else? Would he up and leave? That's how I thought about it, and I always said no. I couldn't see him wanting to do that. I couldn't see him turning his back on Robert Kraft, on the Patriots. It's the best situation. They have a great defense. It's the situation he's always known. They have the guys that he's been with forever, Edelman, McDaniels, people like that. But now, after listening to some other people talk and reading tea leaves, his house goes on the market.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves the best buddies thing, which I don't necessarily think is a reason he's going to leave New England.
I don't think his house being on the market or buying a house in Greenwich,
yeah.
Again, he's a very, very wealthy man. He can rent a house
Correct.
In the meantime for a year or two instead of outright owning a house, whatever.
A hell of a bachelor pad up here, whatever he wants to do.
Whatever.
But my question is, and this is what I wanted to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
based on all of those things, those signs that are real, the house, the best buddies thing, I mean, those are happening. With the way that he has been acting and his demeanor and his play, do you think there's a chance that Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft have signed off on this and that Bill Belichick has told Tom Brady that this will be his last year with the Patriots and after this season, they will be moving on? Because Bill, in the past, has shown respect to veterans towards the end of their career. Now, nobody has, at the level of Tom Brady, has retired or left or ended their time with the Patriots.
Sure.
But Bill Belichick did show some respect to Teddy Bruschi at the end. He told him.
Who was done.
And I think Troy Brown, too.
Bruschi was done.
He told Bruschi that he was moving on and gave him the option. What do you want to do? Bruschi retired. I think Rob Ninkovich got a little bit of that, too, where Belichick offered or told him straight up, this is what we're doing. How do you want to handle this? Helped the process because of the respect he had for the player. Obviously, Brady would garner more respect than any of those guys. Do you think there's a chance, out of courtesy, Bill told Brady, has told him already, that they will be moving on after this season? Do you think that's possible?
No, I don't, because I think that it doesn't help the team if Brady's going into it pissed off. I just don't think Bill would have told him that already, whereas if you look at those other situations, it wasn't saying to those guys, hey, this is going to be your last year. It was the next season in training camp or sometime in the spring where like, hey, I don't think you got it anymore. And those guys end up retiring at that point. So it wasn't like he was giving them this full season being like, hey, this is going to be your send-off and then
so
we're
no.
not going to do this. No. No, I don't think he's told him that because I don't think Bill knew. And what's Bill's other option right now? Jarrett Stidham? No, thank you. No, thank you. He might be end up being an okay player, but we've never actually seen him.
Is the question that I just asked even worth asking?
Sure, because it's a unique situation. And the way you've seen Tom react this year and this desire for weapons, you start to kind of read the tea leaves a little bit and read between the lines and start to go, maybe this is the type of situation where he's been told, hey, this is going to be your last go-around with the team. And Tom's like, well, then I at least want the weapons because I want to win. I want to win in my last go-around. And that's seemingly where he's been more angry or frustrated this year. So I think it's reasonable to ask it. I just don't think it's reality. But I think you're absolutely within the right to ask that question or to even think that is a possibility of something that happened. But I don't think it did.
Well, I'm just thinking about, because in the past he has shown that type of respect towards loyal veterans that have spent a long time with the Patriots and were really productive for him. He has shown that kind of respect at the end.
But in each of those cases where he showed respect to those guys at the end, there was alternatives. There was a guy ready to go in that situation typically. Troy Brown was done. He had been kind of an ineffective wide receiver for a couple of years at the end. Teddy Bruschi had been having the health situation. He comes back. He's already older.
Gerard Mayo was in place.
Yes. And then Ninkovich, you have these other guys on the defensive line. You're like, oh, okay, I think I like what these guys can bring me. In this situation with Tom, you don't have that unless for some reason they really, really think very highly of Jarrett Stidham to the way that we perceive Bill as thinking of Jimmy G a couple of years back. And I don't think that's the case.
I agree with you. I don't think that happened, but I definitely think it's a valid question. I just don't see why, because number one, Bill Belichick, I think based on the struggles they've had offensively this year, he obviously knows who's more at fault. Is it Brady? Is it the young receivers?
Is it everybody?
Is it McDaniels? He's going to know who's more at fault. And I don't think Tom Brady has lost his ability to play football. So that's number one. Number two.
Yeah, but it hasn't looked good lately.
No, it hasn't. But number two, where would you go from here? Like you said, I just don't know what your options are. Bill Belichick is an older head coach.
You're going to go.
You've got a good defense to supplement the quarterback that might not be playing atop the league right now. I think it's a pretty good situation based on the continuity you've had for 20 years you stay with Brady.
Think of the options right now. Take the draft out of the equation because we don't really know. But think of the options you might have. Stidham, obviously, because you have him. Cam Newton's going to be available because they're going to go with Kyle Allen and try and figure it out moving forward down in Carolina. If Cam goes to Chicago, Trubisky's going to be available. If Brady ends up signing with the Chargers, Phillip Rivers is now available.
Oh, my God.
So think of those names.
Phillip Rivers. No
way. Think of these names. You know, maybe Tannehill they decide to actually go with Tannehill in Tennessee, and Mariota's now available. Who of these guys do you want?
None of them. I want Tom Brady. If that's going to be the option I have in front of me, or the options, I want Tom Brady to finish his career here. That's what I want at this point.
I do too.
I don't know why Bill wouldn't want that at this point.
Because I think, and we've talked about this many times, I think there's a little bit of a legacy play for both of them.
I hate that. I don't want.
What don't you want?
I don't want to think about that because
why? It's reality, though.
You think there's really, at this juncture, you think that's what it is? There's a legacy play? You think Tom Brady's sitting? He can't even complete a pass to his receivers right now, and he's sitting there thinking, I want to do this without Belichick.
I don't think it is as much from his side as it is from Bill's side. I think he wants to, for whatever reason, find the next guy. Maybe he wants to coach for 7 more years and have that guy under his tutelage for that long so that he can actually have some success with him and build with him. Maybe that's what he wants, but that's part of the legacy play. Doing it without Tom and finding that next guy, that's a part of it. And I think that carries a little bit of weight with Bill, than Tom.
Maybe you're right. I just feel like at his age, at this point, he'd be too tired for that right now. Why wouldn't you hit him? Look, maybe this is just me speculating. It is just me speculating. But why would he be?
Think about it. You don't know what it's like to be 68 years old.
I have no idea.
He's literally nearly 40 years
older than
you.
And he's admitted that he feels younger than 68. Didn't he say that somewhere?
Sure. But then again, I mean, you got to keep in mind when these guys start talking about, hey, I'm getting older, I'm going to want to stop doing it, they don't know how they're going to feel in 5 years. Years ago, he said he doesn't want to be Marv Levy. He's almost at the same age as Marv Levy was at the end.
Yeah, he's admitted. I think it was on the Big Show. He admitted that when he said that, he didn't know how he'd feel, and now he feels pretty good. Yeah, that's where he said it. I just think when Jimmy G left, you had – that's a lot of hard work that really paid off, essentially. You drafted with where the Patriots historically draft, too. You were able to find a really good quarterback based on how Jimmy G has played this year and how he looked with the Patriots and all those things. Well, that's hard to do.
You also could have drafted Lamar Jackson.
You could have. We'll get to Lamar Jackson later.
We'll get there.
You could have drafted Lamar Jackson, but they did draft Jimmy Garoppolo. You had him here.
Yes.
And you weren't allowed to move forward with him. I feel like that's so deflating.
Well, let's go back to that. Is that the right call or no? Because you did win a championship.
You did win a championship. Who are you asking me for? Mark Dondero, the fan, or Mark Dondero, the perceived owner of the Patriots?
I'm just asking Mark Dondero, whatever hat you want to wear.
Okay, well, I don't regret it. Because I like that they got one more championship.
I'd rather talk to Mark Dondero, the fan, because he exists, where Mark Dondero, the owner, doesn't exist.
Well, I could tell you what I think. Okay. I don't regret it because I want that championship that they won.
Exactly.
Okay? I don't regret it. However, if I'm thinking like a business person and I'm running the team, I would absolutely regret it if Brady is done after this season. I would have... After this season, he is done, if he retires, if he walks away to another team, I would regret it if I'm Robert Kraft, because the way I would look at it is, hey, great, you won that one more, went to two, won one more, but with the way Garoppolo has looked, and that can't be ignored, to give up the 10 to 12 years you might have gotten with him for one more, and to have it end with Tom Brady playing for another team, or even retiring a couple years, 2+ years after you traded Jimmy G, that would be disappointing to me. Because I thought 45 was the number. And if he leaves earlier than that, that's disappointing. I'm not pissed. I'm not holding a grudge. But that's disappointing to me. And I would regret it if I knew it was just going to be 2 more years. How does it make business sense if this guy that you have out in San Francisco now looks that good? And that could be your quarterback. How does that make business sense? Business sense. Mark Dondero, the fan, he likes what they did. I love.
Okay, you want to know how it makes business sense?
Yeah.
Here's the reality. You're going to have to pay Garoppolo more than you ever paid Brady over the next couple of years.
Okay.
Right? So say Brady retires, that next quarterback in, likely, will not be paid nearly at that level of Jimmy G, correct?
Correct.
So that's where you start to make the business sense of it and saying, well, we actually end up saving money with Brady and then that next guy. You asked business sense.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
And then the other side of it, too, is, okay, we don't have to tie up as much money with this quarterback. We can build out the rest of the roster and have the best defense and have a stout offensive line to protect this guy. He might not be as good, but we can actually put more around him.
Nope.
That's where it makes sense business-wise.
Fine, but I don't want to hear about any of that. I don't want to hear
asked.
About I don't want to hear about cap hits. I don't want to hear about salary. If you, especially after Tom Brady,
yeah.
Forget about Tom Brady. If you have an elite quarterback, you pay him. You've got to pay the elite quarterback. If he is elite, you've got to pay that man so he plays football on your team.
Because you need an elite quarterback to win Super Bowls?
It's the most impactful position
sure.
on the field.
But it's about winning Super Bowls, right?
It is. It is.
And you don't, we've seen it in history, you don't, it's not every single year that an elite quarterback wins the Super Bowl, right?
I mean.
I could throw out a litany of names real quick.
Well, what, from 1991?
Sure, Jeff Hostetler.
Yeah, well, I don't care about 1991. I'm talking about right now. Don't
okay, Joe Flacco a couple years ago.
Joe Flacco threw 12 touchdowns and zero interceptions. He was as elite as it gets.
He played really well.
He did.
Is he an elite quarterback?
No, but that stretch was elite. So at least he had, yeah, I mean, Nick Foles during that stretch was elite.
Yeah, you had an average quarterback play well for a stretch of games. Eli Manning really well in 2007
fair
in the
enough.
Playoffs, was not great in the regular season, and has never really had a great regular season.
So I guess I'm just...
And he's got two
what I'm,
over you.
Okay. I'm just factoring... I guess I'm just saying, hey, if this guy's elite all of the time, or most of the time,
yeah, makes
there's
your job
a good
a lot
chance,
easier.
There's a good chance come playoff time, he will stay consistent and still be elite, opposed to Eli Manning, who you needed
Tom Brady runs. Is so great because he did take those financial sacrifices, sort of. It's been a little overstated over the years how much less he took. It's not quite accurate, but he has absolutely taken less. He could have been the highest paid quarterback player in the league for years, for a decade plus, but he chose not to. Why? Because you could spend that money and have a more effective team and win Super Bowls. When you overpay your quarterback, you have a very hard time, and I shouldn't say overpay, when you pay your quarterback that much, you have a harder time building out a competitive roster. So when you look at some of these teams that have that top flight quarterback that's getting so much percentage of the cap, I know you don't want to hear cap, but it has to tie into this.
No, I hear
it. It makes it harder. So when you look at teams where they have that top flight quarterback make that much money, how many of those guys actually won Super Bowls? A couple, but it's not a guarantee every year.
Well, how many actually have won Super Bowls? Let's think about it.
Breeze? He was making a ton of money, won a Super Bowl.
Okay. Flacco wasn't. Russell Wilson wasn't.
There's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point that I'm getting into.
No, that's a good point. And especially when you have these other organizations that might not be as adept as Bill Belichick is in building out and filling out a roster.
Foles? Certainly not.
No.
You can go down the list of these guys. Marino, who's the highest paid player at his position for a while.
Yeah, I know.
Goes once. Look. And he goes once when he's not one of the higher paid players. He's on a rookie deal in his second season.
Okay. What kills me, though, is that if you have this level of quarterback play throughout the course of Tom Brady's career, and you have a chance after that guy leaves to keep it close.
Yeah. I have a 49er situation?
Yeah, I'm not sparing any expense to do that if I can, especially with how hard it is to replace a guy like Brady, to draft a guy of that caliber from where the Patriots year in and year out have to draft.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of examples to back up that point. Look at the Cowboys. When Aikman goes down in 98, I think, or 99, whatever it was, when that final concussion just said, you can't do this anymore. Have the Cowboys had a really good quarterback since? They had a couple of really good years with Romo, but that didn't bring him success. Otherwise, they were looking for that guy for a long time. You know, you bring in an old Bledsoe, and then you have to draft guys and try and build them up. So it took them a while to try and figure out that next guy, and they still haven't won a Super Bowl since.
I'm just saying, if it was me, for me, I like what they did because not only did you win another Super Bowl.
Yes, and I'll always take that.
But not only did that happen, how much fun from a fan's perspective was the FU tour they went on, the power sniff. Yeah, everybody thinks we suck. We'll see. Then they go into Kansas City, shut everyone up, prove everybody wrong, and then win the – I mean, that was, from a fan's perspective, awesome. But from a business perspective, I think they would admit if Brady was just going to be here two more years and Garoppolo's this good, I don't know how you don't sign up for that. Let's take some calls. JP in North Providence. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Can I get a quick question and then a couple of fun conspiracy theories?
Yeah.
I know I'm old. I've been on eBay and Amazon. I can't find a Tom Brady number 12 Dolphins jersey. Yeah. Am I looking in the wrong spot? Wouldn't that be awesome? The end of the Super Bowl, he wins it. Jim Gray says, Tom, where are you going? I'm taking my talents to South Beach. They signed Gronk. McDaniels goes down as the offensive coordinator, be like the end of any given Sunday, and Brady lives with Gronk in the penthouse over there for a little while. As far as Cincinnati, I think Belichick was doing him a favor. He felt bad. He said, let me film these guys. It'll make them think they're better than they are, and they're going to cut Beckham for a third-round pick, and we'll sign him.
Two different teams. Beckham's on Cleveland, not Cincinnati.
I mean, Cleveland, yeah. They felt bad for him. I'm telling you, Belichick thinks like a fox, but all this conspiracy theory and fun stuff is fun. Bottom line, I'm glad they kept Brady. They won the Super Bowls. I'd like to see what Garoppolo does behind this offensive line. He might be, you know, in the intensive care unit right now, the way that he gets hurt when he's scrambling and stuff. So I think it still was the right move of keeping Brady.
All right, thanks, JP. Well, the one thing...
Listen, I definitely think it was the right move keeping Brady over Garoppolo.
So I do mean, I.
Listen, Garoppolo, as a fan and as... I don't know why my headphones are all screwed up. He hasn't proven that he can stay healthy.
True, but he can play ball, and he has proven that.
He's been much better as of late. He was a turnover machine at the beginning of the season. Yeah. For the first 6 weeks of the season, he was turnover left and right.
Yeah,
and,
he can play.
You know, you got to... consider that when you're looking at these situations and be like, hey, because I know not everyone's watching every single 49ers game, and sometimes you have to rely on the stats.
Did they win the Super Bowl last year with Jimmy Garoppolo?
No.
13-3? No. Couldn't have done that? Couldn't have managed that in the Super Bowl?
No.
What I don't
think... Because I think he makes a mistake. He turns the ball over.
Could he have converted three third and tens in the AFC Championship game in overtime or in the fourth quarter?
I don't think he would have.
No.
I don't think. I don't have that much faith or trust in them.
I don't think they win the Super Bowl last year with Jimmy Garoppolo. But yeah, I mean, let's talk to Dan and Cranston. I want to get his take. Dan, good morning.
I got a 49ers hat in my head.
Here we go.
Full disclosure. Okay. Who is the NFL in touchdown passes since week 8?
Jimmy G.
That's right. 18-3. So here's the thing. I'll backtrack for a minute. Let's just, these are all, you can't do over what you had to do over. They had to make the decision in 2017. You're wrong in one area in terms about the cost. Now, just say they traded Brady, all right, and Garoppolo was the guy after 2017, right?
Yep.
He never gets the 5-game audition with the 49ers, all right? That's where he got the big bucks. If he stayed with the Patriots, he's probably making like $16-18 million a year, like a 5-year extension. You know what I mean?
Hold on. I got to cut you off real quick. Did you say he's, 18-3 since week 8?
No. Touchdowns and
interceptions. Well, he's thrown 4 interceptions since week 8.
All right, 4. Okay.
I just want, because I know I heard you call.
All right, I'm off by one. All right, you killed my argument. But all right, so
I want you to be accurate if you're going to go with this position. That's fine.
All right, well, 8, is that making a lot worse, 18-4? I mean, is that still pretty good?
It's still pretty good, but information was not accurate. That's all.
All right. So, in terms of, would you agree, is my information accurate that the cost to keep Jimmy G, if he didn't have that 5-game audition, would be substantially cheaper than what he costs right now?
Possibly, but I've seen plenty of NFL teams pay quarterbacks fairly well off of limited exposure.
And keep in mind,
I've seen that happen many times over the years.
Keep in mind, didn't Jimmy G at that time, and I think still, didn't Brady and Jimmy G share an agent?
Yeah, Don Yee.
So would that have played into the negotiations at all? I don't know.
Sure, it might have. But he wouldn't have got $137 million from the Patriots. Come on.
Okay.
He wasn't going to get $27
million. All right. Well, for your argument's sake, we'll say you're right. He wouldn't have gotten that money.
All right. And if Brady had gone, what would have been the gold mine in terms of a return?
Well, I'd like to think it would have been a gold mine, but then they traded Jimmy G for a second-round pick. I don't know.
Well, Tom Brady, obviously, at that point, would be worth a hell of a boatload more than...
Yes,
I mean, a team like Minnesota, before they signed Kirk Cousins, look what they gave Kirk Cousins. What do you think they would have given up for Brady? A team that was desperately... 3 number one picks?
I would hope 2 ones and a 2, 2 ones, 2 twos, something like that, I hope.
Okay, so I guess and again, all this stuff is just conspiracy theory, how it would have played out. But can you see the Patriots in a pretty good position right now if they had kept Garoppolo, had all those picks, And we can't. You can't say it would be the same team because it wouldn't be. They would be building a different type of team than they have right now.
Dan, the other thing you're throwing into that equation, which is the unknown there, is how does Belichick utilize those picks? Is he making the right picks? Because we've seen lately they're not always the right pick in that first round.
No,
we've seen him miss.
His first round picks have been fine.
Offensively?
We'd have a good left tackle right now, I tell you that much. I guarantee.
Do we?
Yeah. No,
but the point is, go over his first round picks. Overall, they're pretty good. So he would have probably gotten somebody that would have been useful.
Well, you know what he did?
He would have turned it into two twos, and you know what I mean? He would have traded them out. We can't play that game. I'm just saying that I do think that they would have had a good chance. If he was a quarterback in his second year here, I do think there was a good chance they could have won the Super Bowl last year with Garoppolo a quarterback. I really do. The Kansas City game is probably the only game the whole year that you could say maybe you really needed Brady, you know, in Kansas City. But other than that, Mark, you were right. It was 13-3. What do you need to do?
Yeah, I think he could have won that game.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all semantics, but it is what it is.
It's a good conversation.
Have a good day, guys.
All right, thanks, Dan. All right, we need to get it trending. When we get back, I want to get to, at one point, Lamar Jackson. I have a lot to say about Lamar Jackson. He's taken over the world, and I'm just so shocked around the country at the reaction to Lamar Jackson. We'll get to that. Let's get it trending. We'll be back.
We're back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show. 401-737-1287 is the phone number. I had a professional radio host tell me I don't give out the phone number enough this past week. 401-737-1287 is the phone number.
At least you know the number.
You know the number.
Because I can read, but I don't know it off the top of my head.
So real quick, before we get to the top of the hour, I want to talk a little bit about the Patriots matchup in Cincinnati and what it could mean and what they're trying to do. Do you have a point you want to make? You were writing a lot during the break.
No, I was just going through the first round picks, something I've done a million times during the Belichick era here.
Yeah, we've talked about that. You're so low on Bill Belichick as a drafter.
A first round drafter. I'm low on him as a first round drafter. He finds very good players, third, second, fourth round, Gronkowski, those type of guys, Jimmy G in the second round. Right. He's good at that. First round, I'm not.
He's also had some big misses in the second round. He has.
But in the second round, I'm a little more okay with
big
misses.
You want to read your list?
Sure. This is since 2000.
Yeah.
Richard Seymour, Daniel Graham, Ty Warren, Ben Watson, Vince Wilfork, Logan Mankins. That's decent. That's a decent start considering you're always drafting at the bottom for the most part, with the exception of Seymour there. Lawrence Maroney.
Ugh.
Brandon Merriweather.
Ugh.
Gerard Mayo. Decent. McCourty, decent. Hightower, decent. Chandler Jones, decent. Dominic Easley, not so much. Malcolm Brown, not so much. Sony Michel, is all right. Isaiah Wynn, we really don't know. He cannot stay healthy. And N'Keal Harry. It's not amazing. And then when you start to look at the players they did not take, the guys that went a couple of picks after them, that's when it starts to get really sad. You know, you see Daniel Graham there and like, dude, three picks later, you could have had Ed Reed.
Oh, that's a brutal fact.
And that's 2002, and maybe you don't need to sign Rodney Harrison at that point, or maybe you still sign Rodney Harrison, and now you can really let Lauren Malloy go, you know, in the offseason that year.
I think there was another one in there, too. They took Patrick Chung, and they could have had Clay Matthews or something like that.
But that's where it starts to get really bad, is when you start to look at the guys that were taken 2, 3, 4, 5 picks later.
Yeah, but
that's not an overwhelming amount of
talent. I was trying to keep
up
with you. I have at least 5 A's there.
A's?
A's.
Seymour's an A.
Seymour's an A.
Wilfork's an A.
I have Hightower as an A.
I think I missed Solder.
Solder would be a B. I have, you don't have Logan Mankins as an A? It's a pretty good pick.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
He's a good player. I missed Solder in 2011 on the list.
I had another A on there and I can't remember who it was. But yeah, I think he's been pretty good drafting in the first round, especially defensive players.
My point was offensive players. That was really where my point was. Defensively, yeah, you look at that, those A's are all on the defensive side, whether it's Seymour, Wilfork, you know, Mankins, you can quibble over, but it's probably an A. He was a damn good player. Hightower, maybe an A, not all the way there yet.
Hightower is an A with what he's done in the Super Bowls, and
sure,
he's been there now. I mean, he hasn't. It's not a decade, but he's been there a while. He's stayed. He, you know, that's an A.
Real quick, Hightower or Mayo? Who'd you rather?
What are you asking me?
Who's better? Who'd you like more as the starting, that marquee linebacker for the Patriots?
You asking me that question?
Yes.
Dante Hightower? Okay. I
just wanted to make sure.
Mayo couldn't stay healthy. He's a piece of paper.
I wanted to make sure. Just wanted to make sure. That's all.
The one big game I remember from Jerod Mayo was a Thursday night game against the Jets his rookie year where I was like, wow, that guy's good. Everything else was a disappointment, it felt like. And he was a good player, and it pained me that he couldn't have been more involved in some of those championship teams, especially 2014. He just kept getting hurt. I can't believe you even asked me that question. Okay. I want to know what you think about this Bengals game.
Can I just ask you another quick question?
Yeah, one more question.
How many times has Dante Hightower played 16 games? You're bringing up the injury history of Jerod Mayo.
I don't know.
Once. He's never started 16 games in a season.
Okay.
And only one time did he ever play 16 games.
We've done this show a long time. You know where I value good performances. He has been there, other than that year against the Eagles.
I'm not saying he hasn't been good.
No, he's had his injury issues as well. He tore a pec. Was there a knee issue at one point? But he has been there in big games, and he has played well in big games. You know how much that means to me. That's why I'm always down on Wes Welker. You know, I don't appreciate Wes Welker as much as everybody else does. I should appreciate him more. I don't.
Big game. I don't know if you should appreciate him more.
The big games, he did not come through, and that disappoints me. That really means something to me. So, Hightower, he might not have, he's had injury issues, but he has been there. He has signature moments in the biggest of games. That guy, I can't believe you asked me that first question. All right. The Bengals game, they're 1-12. How do you feel about this game? What will you? It's a game the Patriots we thought would win no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance they lose this game? Are you worried about them losing this game at all?
No, I'm not worried about them losing this game. Okay. I really am not worried.
Because the defense is just so good, they'll be able to
and
keep everybody at bay offensively.
Cincinnati doesn't have very much talent. The one area where I would look at and be like, start to be a little concerned, is Mixon healthy? I think he is, right?
I think he is.
You know, how much are they going to try and shove the ball down your throat? How capable are you against a run? It's a decent running back. That would be the only area where I'm looking at things. I look at this game as basically extended practice. This is an opportunity to get more reps for N'Keal Harry, to get him the ball a little bit more, because you shouldn't have much of an issue with this game. The Patriots' defense should keep complete control of this game and allow the offense a little bit of flexibility with how they want to attack the Bengals and try and build for the last couple of weeks of the season leading to the playoffs. That's how I view this game.
I think that I'm not – here's what I'm going to say. There is no way that I'm not taking anything for granted right now, and I don't expect a comfortable win. I'm not expecting that. Do I expect the Patriots to win the game? The Bengals are 1-12. Yes, I expect the Patriots to win the game, but I'm not expecting a comfortable win. But what I will say about a game against the Bengals or against the Bills, who are a good team, or the Dolphins, who aren't as good, both coming to Gillette, the Bills and Dolphins, at the end of the season – if you're worried that there isn't a quality opponent, look at last year. The Patriots seemingly found their offense, found their game in the last 2 weeks of the season against the Jets and I think it was the Bills at home. Bad teams last year, but they were able to put some stuff together, get on a little bit of a run, you know, find a little rhythm, and that helped them going into the playoffs. It wasn't the only thing. But those games, those moments where they found some rhythm late in the year weren't meaningless. So I think if they do find some rhythm in Cincinnati, despite the fact that they're 1-12, that is a good sign. That could bode well going forward, at least into the next week, against a better Buffalo team that's coming to Gillette Stadium, a place they historically don't pose much of a threat, but we'll see this year. But I think if they play well, the Patriots, on offense, especially, that's what we're all waiting for and evaluating, that could mean something. I don't care that the Bengals are 1-12.
This could be one of those games where your running game really starts to try and establish itself, because the Bengals are the worst run defense in the NFL. I mean, they're always behind by a fair amount, so of course teams are going to start to rack it up on them and just control the ball and kill off the clock by running at the end of the games. But this could be an opportunity for Sony Michel to really start getting that underneath him and continue to try and move that momentum forward through the rest of the season. Will Josh McDaniels allow that to happen? Will they run for the first couple of plays and then abandon it forever? That seems to be the MO lately. You say you're going to establish the run, you do it for one series, and then you don't go back to it until you desperately need it, because you're not, and nothing else is working for you towards the end of games. So I'd like to see the running game. Sonny Michel have a good game, but I'd really like to see N'Keal Harry get some more opportunities with the ball in his hands and try and make some things happen. I'd like to see that because that's one of the elements this offense desperately needs is someone who can reliably catch the ball and make some plays outside of Julian Edelman. And right now you don't have that.
You have to get Harry the ball more. You have to.
And Harry's the guy I want to get the ball to more. I don't want it to go to Sanu necessarily more. I don't want it to go to Jacoby Myers in that much.
Myers is what Jacoby Myers is. Sanu needs to
get
healthy.
He's a nice little player.
He needs to get healthy. I would probably be healthy because when he was healthy, I mean, I go back to that Ravens game.
Yeah, but N'Keal Harry, sorry to interrupt you on that point. N'Keal Harry, if he is a more prominent part of this offense and shows some capabilities, that threat to opposing defenses than Mohamed Sanu does. But I know your point.
Look, Jacoby Myers, I think it is official now. Look, he's done nice things. He is over his head. Okay, I don't see any confidence in his game. At least with Harry, he might not know all the routes. He might not be as polished. He missed a lot of time. At least I feel like there's a little swag to his game. He has some confidence. He plays with some conviction.
Yeah.
I do not get the sense of that when I watch Jacoby Myers play. It looks like he's terrified of making a mistake. He looks scared. He looks timid, robotic, whatever you want to call it. He doesn't look like he's just playing. And I don't think he can play in these games. You want to keep him there for depth purposes? Fine. But he is not somebody that I want. I don't want him on the field that much. I want Harry on the field way more than him. And I'm shocked, even last weekend, why wasn't Harry on the field more? Every time I looked up, it was Myers. Then you put Harry in. I know the refs blew the
ball. Yeah, he got robbed of that touchdown.
We didn't even talk about the refs. A million things have happened since then. But he made a play. It was a touchdown. They blew it, but he made a play the second he went in the game.
Yep.
Why aren't you trying to get him more involved? I don't understand. I mean, Josh McDaniels sort of contradicted himself this week because he said
because he sucks.
Well, on one hand,
I'm so sick of Josh McDaniels.
Well, here's the thing. On one hand, he said I got to get Harry the ball more. So I was like, good, you got to get him the ball more. Yes. But then 2 minutes later, he talked about how Harry's trying to get. I don't have the quote in front of me, but he talked about how Harry's trying to. He's working as hard as he can to get in the right spot so he knows exactly how he can be utilized in the shot. No, get him the ball more. If that means you have to make it easier for him to know what he has to do so you can get him the ball more, get him the ball more. That's where it begins and ends. There's nothing about, well, I got to get him the ball more, but he has to also find a way to understand what we need. No, get him the ball more. Get him the ball. He's 6'4", 225. Get him the ball. You're the coach. You find a way to get him the ball. If he doesn't have a PhD yet in the Patriots offense, give him something that he can understand. You got to get him the ball. So that's what I want to see. They've got to find something that works, and they're running out of time. I think there's still a lot of time. We talked about this last week. There's still time. But I got to see something here. When we get back, I need to say something about Lamar Jackson. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.